الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, سورة النساء آية number 3 of the تفسير الشيخ عبد الرحمن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإن خفتم ألا تقسطوا في اليتامى فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع فإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا فواحدة أو ما ملكت أيمانكم ذلك أدنى ألا تعولوا وآتوا النساء صدقاتهن نحلة فإن طبن لكم عن شيء منه نفسا فكلوه هنيئا مريئا. And if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with the orphan girls, then marry other women of your choice, two or three or four. But if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with them, then only one, or the slaves that your right hand possess, that your right hands possess, that is nearer to prevent you from doing injustice. And give to the women when you marry their mahr, which is the obligatory bridal money given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage, with a good heart. But if they, of their own good pleasure, remit any part of it to you, take it and enjoy it without fear of any harm, as Allah has made it lawful. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, أي وإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا في يتامى النساء التي تحت حجوركم وولايتكم حجوركم وولايتكم. If you're afraid that you won't be able to deal justly with the orphan girls who are in your homes and under your guardianship, وخفتم ألا تقوموا بحقهن لعدم محبتكم إياهن, and you're afraid that you will not be able to fulfill the rights because you're not interested in them, you don't love them, you don't love them. فاعدلوا إلى غيرهن, then go elsewhere. Do not marry then the orphan girls which are living with you. If you don't find, if you're not interested in them, marry other women. ما طاب لكم من النساء أي ما وقع عليهن اختياركم من ذوات الدين والمال والجمال والحسب والنسب وغير ذلك من الصفات الداعية لنكاحهن. Then marry whatever is pleasing to your woman, meaning whatever your choice, whatever you choose from amongst them, those who are religiously committed, and those of wealth, and those of beauty, and those of lineage, and other characteristics which call the person to marry a particular woman, some features which she has, which make her desirable. فاختاروا على نظركم. So choose according to what you see. ومن أحسن ما يختار من ذلك صفة الدين. The best quality which you should look for when marrying a woman is her religious commitment. Because she may be beautiful, but she's not religiously committed, that beauty will become the source of destruction for you and your family. She may be wealthy, and that wealth will be the source of destruction for you and your family if she doesn't fear Allah. Because some women who have money, they become arrogant over their husband, specifically if he needed money from her. If he's the one who's borrowing money from his wife, she will enslave him. And every time he goes off track, she's gonna say, hey, I'm the one who gives you money. He definitely will not be able to marry a second wife, because she's gonna tell him, how are you gonna afford a second wife when I give you money? So her having money without religious commitment is a problem. Her being beautiful, she's a fitna for other men. If she doesn't fear Allah, that's a problem. Her being of a lineage, her uncle, you know, or her father is a general in the army. If she doesn't fear Allah, you're in trouble. connections, can't play with her. So you'll find that any quality that a woman has, if it's not there, along with the fear of Allah, this very quality may become your major problem. So that is why you choose the sister who fears Allah. You choose the woman who fears Allah, who's God conscious, who's pious. Then if she's beautiful, alhamdulillah. She got money, excellent. She's of a decent lineage, no problem. But provided that the religious commitment is there as a prerequisite. The Prophet ﷺ, كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, تنكح المرأة لأربع. A woman is married, is usually married for four reasons. لمالها, for her money. ولجمالها, for her beauty. ولحسبها, for her lineage. ولدينها, for her religion. فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يمينك. So hold on to the one who's religiously committed, may your right hand be rubbed with dust. And the hadith you find in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. وفي هذه الآية أنه ينبغي للإنسان أن يختار قبل النكاح. This ayah teaches us that you should choose before you get married. Choose. Yeah, and you have to go through a process. Which means that these arranged marriages, which are very popular among many cultures in Islam, are not really part of Islam in that sense. If the girl was young, a young girl, then that's fine. Her father, like Abu Bakr did with Aisha radiallahu anha, her father may arrange her marriage. But if she's reached the age of discretion, if she's a girl, khalas, yani she's, you know, ready, then these arranged marriages are no good. Specifically, when they are imposed on the children and the children are not interested. These, you know, they don't want to get married to this person. And I get these in the emails all the time. My parents want me to marry my cousin. I don't like him. He doesn't pray. He deals with riba. And the sister's trying to be on a deen. Her parents don't care. You have to marry your cousin. And they've arranged it already. This is nonsense. This is jahiliyyah. This is not in Islam. Not in this fashion at least. Anyways, so the Shaykh said you have to choose. بَلْ قَدْ أَبَاحَ لَهُ الشَّارِعَ النَّظَرْ إِلَى مَنْ يُرِيدُ تَزَوُّجِهَا. Not only that, rather, the law in Islam had permitted you to look at the woman whom you're interested in marrying. You're allowed to look at her. And the scholars have differed on to what extent are you allowed to look. Some of them say that you see of her, her hands and her face, because these are the sign of beauty. And some of them said, no, you may go further than that. You may actually see her without hijab. Without, and you can see her hair, you can see her hair, her neck, her arms, and the bottom of her legs, whatever would usually appear, and her feet, whatever usually a woman would show in front of her mahram, woman. Yani the way a woman dresses at home, she's wearing a regular, you know, whatever, dress. She's walking around the house, that same dress, a man is allowed to see her in that. Because you're trying to find interest in marrying this lady. And she may have some things which you don't like, body-wise. And her face and hands don't display that. She may have a beautiful face, nice hands, but she's fat. And you don't like fat women. Or she's too skinny. You don't like skinny women. Everybody has his own taste, you know. It's like cocktail. Anywho, so this kind of stuff differed, but the most popular opinion is that you only see her face and her hands. Because they say it's a sign of beauty. If her hands are nice and soft, alaykum salam, and you know what I'm saying? It's a sign that she's okay. If her hands are busted, you know, whatever, that's a sign that she's suffering. So yani they usually use these two as an indication of the condition of this woman. Wallahu a'lam. Ala kulli hal, ليكون على بصيرة من أمره. So you may look at it so you can be upon clarity concerning what you're getting into. ثم ذكر العدد الذي أباحه من النساء فقال مثنى وثلاثة ورباع. Then Allah mentioned what the number which He allowed the Muslim man to marry, the number of women. مثنى from إثنى, two. وثلاث from ثلاثة. ورباعكم أربعة. Two or three or four. Yes? And it is important to understand it in this fashion. Because the Shia, may Allah destroy them, they use this ayah to claim that you are allowed to marry nine women. Nine. Because they say the ayah says two and three, that's five. And four, that's what?
Nine.
Then they tell you furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ married nine women. At some point he had nine under him. Right? So they say now the Sunnah supports the ayah and the Quran. You see that? Wickedness of the Shia. So the ayah means two or three or four. Meaning at one point you can either have one wife or two wives or three wives or four. Can't have more than that. Cannot have more than that. أيمن أحب أن يأخذ اثنتين فليفعل. Whoever desires to take two, let him do so. أو ثلاثا فليفعل. Or three, do so. أو أربعا فليفعل. Or if he wishes to take four wives, do so. ما في مشكلة مدير. Just make sure that your first wife doesn't, you know, hang you from your feet, you know, in your original house. Hey. ولا يزيد عليها. But don't go over that. لأن الآية سيقت لبيان الامتناع. Because the ayah is in the context of showing Allah's favor. فلا يجوز الزيادة على غير ما سمى الله تعالى إجماعا. And it's not permissible to add to anything which Allah has mentioned in number. يعني Allah mentioned a number for you, then it's a consensus among the Muslims that you may not add anything afterwards. وذلك لأن الرجل قد لا تندفع شهوته بالواحدة. One of the wisdoms behind polygyny, not polygamy, not polygamy, as opposed to what many people think. Technically speaking, polygamy, which is what is used now, is the permission or the concept of a man marrying more than one woman and a woman marrying more than one man. That's the definition of polygamy. We don't have polygamy in Islam. Polygamy, P-O-L-Y-G-A-M-Y. What we do have is polygyny. P-O-L-Y-G-Y-N-Y. The pronunciation is different. Instead of polygamy, you say polygyny. Instead of an A, after the G, it would become a Y. And polygyny means a woman, a man marrying more than one woman, strictly. So if you really want to be technical, now of course, if you're giving a da'wah to non-Muslims, you don't want to do that unless you have the time. You can tell them Islam allows polygyny and then they're going to think you're ignorant. They're going to say this guy doesn't even know the word. So you have to show them that no, you don't know the word. You know, I know the word. Tell them, I know there's polygamy, which is incorrect. Islam allows polygyny. And you take 1 minute to explain the point, so the audience will not think that that you don't know what you're talking about. They will realize that they don't know what you're talking about. Or if you want to avoid all the hassle, just say polygamy. Because most people don't know the definition. Unless you're dealing with a linguist, someone who's into languages and he's very good in language, this person probably knows that variation, so you make it a point. So you make it a point for them. Is that clear? So what is the correct term?
Polygyny.
Polygyny. As opposed to polygamy. You can look it up in the dictionary, I'm not bringing this from home. طيب. على كل حال, the Shaykh said, one of the reasons, or one of the wisdoms behind it, is that a man's sexual desire may not be fulfilled with one woman. One of the reasons why Islam allowed a man to marry more than one woman, as opposed to what many people claim, because they always tell you, because, you know, she's an orphan, or because her husband died at war, or because, you know, they give you good reasons. But they never are frank and, you know, and blunt enough to tell you, look, one is not enough. Okay? When the first one is on her menstrual cycle, a And it takes, you know, I don't know how many days. I can't handle it. I can't be waiting. I need another wife on hold. So I can, you know, that's fine. That's the deen of Allah. Somebody has a problem with that, there's their problem. If somebody is going to claim that men are not like that, he's a liar. That's how men work. There are times when this is a valid reason for having a second wife. Not all the time. And that is not a reason enough. Yani once someone feels that he needs another one because of sexual reasons, he still has to be able to deal with all the responsibilities of having a second wife. It is not fun. It's not like you look for any sister and get married and then you say, okay, I'll worry about the rest later. No. You have to be able to deal with them justly, provide with accommodation, split your time, split your wealth, spend on them equally. Once you're able to do that, then go ahead. But every time you get excited, you're going to go look for a second wife? That's not how our deen works either. You have to control yourself. Either you can afford it or you cannot. Because the shaitan will play games with us. All day he's looking for a second wife. Because he's always, you know, eating I don't know what kind of food which keeps him, you know, overexcited all the time. And so we need to chill out. That's not justifying. A justifying reason for someone to do that. طيب. فأبيح له واحدة بعد واحدة. He was allowed to marry one after another. حتى تبلغ أربع. حتى تبلغ أربع. Until you reach four. لأن في الأربع غنية لكل أحد إلا ملكة. Because four should be plenty for almost everyone except maybe some exceptions. Maybe some men are يعني really strange that four are not enough. But usually four is more than enough. Way more than enough. ومع هذا فإنما يباح له ذلك إذا أمن على نفسه الجور والظلم ووثق بالقيام حقوقه. Nevertheless, it is only permissible for him to do that when he is able to guarantee that he will not wrong them, he will not oppress them, and that he will be able to maintain their rights. As I mentioned earlier, فَإِنْ خَافَ شَيْئًا مِنْ هَذَا. If he's afraid, if he fears that he will not be able to fulfill any of these rights, فَلْيَقْتَصِرْ عَلَى وَاحِدَ أَوْ مَا أَوْ عَلَى مُلْكِ يَمِينِهِ. So let him suffice himself with one, عليكم السلام, or what his right hand possesses. If you can't deal with them justly, then stick to only one, which is what most of us are doing. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْقَسَمْ فِي مُلْكِ الْيَمِينِ عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامْ. He is not obliged to deal justly in terms of the you know, the regular rulings with his right hand possession, which we don't have today, but it's a valid part of Islam. If the Muslims right now were to engage in war with some non-Muslims through jihad, and the Muslims come out victorious. Yeah, they remember these people are trying to kill us and kill our wives, our children, kill everyone. We fight with them and we win. All of their women folks become our property. All of their women folks become our property. And once you own a right, once she's your right hand possession, then you are allowed to have sexual intercourse with her. If anyone doesn't like it, tell Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah that you did not like the revelation. I'm saying this because there are weak-hearted Muslims, weak-faith Muslims who twist the deen around because they think that some teachings of Islam are not really, you know, compatible with the Western values. So we say, you can throw the Western values in the ocean. The Western value which allows you to sleep with any woman who's over the age of 15, supposedly. Consent, with her consent. And that there's no crime for adultery, fornication. But if you marry a second wife, you will go to prison. The Western value, who they teach in the fifth elementary, the teacher will bring a banana to class and a condom and will show the children how to put on a condom by using the banana as a And so in the first intermediate, already school children are having sex. Western values that are worth, that are the closest thing they are, they resemble, are that of animals. Just like cats. You know, cats and dogs and all, they don't say, this is my wife, this is my girlfriend. They meet each other for the first time in the street, and next day you know she's pregnant. And he may never see her again. These are the Western values. They have the nerve to come to divine teachings by Allah and criticize them. But when it comes to their junk and their craziness, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of batikh, freedom of I don't know what. So you're not supposed to say anything. No, it's the other way around. You're sick for letting your daughter have a boyfriend. You're retarded. You're feeble-minded. You're majnoon. Your daughter has a boyfriend who picks her up and drops her off. You must be out of your brain. But to them, this is very normal. He meets her. Hey, how are you? Take care of my daughter. Huh? Idiot. This is your daughter. Where's your jealousy, man? They don't have it. But it comes to divine teaching, something Allah made lawful for the Muslims, under guidelines, based on struggling for His cause. They come and say, what do you mean right hand position? What do you mean the slave girl? What do you mean you can have sex with her? What do you mean? What's wrong with you? Why? You remove the concept of boyfriend and girlfriend first, and then come talk to me. Because they're having sex all the time. But not according to the deen of Allah. Not according to the Bible. Not the Old Testament. Not the New Testament. Not according to any divine teaching. Everybody agrees they're having unlawful sex. But this right hand possession is lawful according to the Bible and the Quran. It's lawful according to the Bible and the Quran. Read the Old Testament. And read what Moses was commanded to do. And what happened after their warfare. And the 32,000 virgins which they kept for themselves. I believe it's in Numbers. In the book of Numbers. Read it. So it's the same thing which Allah gave to the prophets before. What is your problem? So you need to have a strong position. And don't let any kafir come in and shake you up by throwing these doubts at you, and you start shaking, ya, bah, 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 and you start lying. No, no, that's not it, that's not what it is. No, 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 no. If they don't like it, fine. May you never like it. And may Allah burn you in Jahannam. That's your attitude. You don't say that to him. That's your attitude. If you don't want it, if you don't like the deen of Allah, you're nothing. Your problem is with the deen of Allah, not with me. I'm only conveying the deen of Allah. Allah made it halal. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ It's in the Quran. It's in the Quran. أو ما ملكت. In this ayah, of course it comes in so many ayat. It comes in so many ayat. There's no doubt in Islam that a man, if Muslims fought with non-Muslims and they were victorious, that the women folk become the property of the Muslim men. And that you are allowed to have sexual intercourse with them. That's the way it is. And we say, Alhamdulillah. May Allah facilitate this for the Muslims so we can all get our share of halal entertainment, which Allah made for the Muslims in the dunya before the akhirah. But today, Muslims are not engaging in such warfare. Consequently, there are no such things. So don't do what some people have done. They hire a maid. They hire a maid and they tell her, how about you become my right hand possession? And she says, I agree. And then they start, you know, having relations with one another. And they say, well, you know, I gave myself to him. I made myself a property of his. We say, you can't do that. You can't do that because she's a hirra. She's a free woman and you cannot enslave her. You cannot enslave her. She's a Muslim woman. Or even otherwise, you cannot. It has to be through the warfare. Or if the market was still open and the people still, you know, dealt with slavery, then that's all another discussion. But this has been pretty much, you know, exterminated in this world. So do you understand the point here? You confident? Huh? Does it make sense to you? Or are you afraid still? Will you be able to explain this to a non-Muslim in his face? Yes? Good. And the same thing concerning anything. Remember, if they don't like it, meaning they don't like Allah. Because Allah revealed it. If they don't like Allah, it's not your job to change it. You can't change it. It's your job to give him da'wah. But it's not your job to go in his heart and make him love Allah's deen. Can't. If he is, his natural disposition has been corrupted, this is beyond your control. SubhanAllah. And don't feel bad. You gave him da'wah, you discussed right-hand possession, he said, no way, I will never accept a religion like this. Okay. See you later, buddy. And leave. Khalas. Don't even feel bad. They say, oh, if there was goodness in them, Allah would have guided him. If there was goodness in him, Allah would have guided him regardless. Regardless. And we know this from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. People who had fought against the Messenger of Allah, like Khalid ibn Walid and Sufyan and Muawiyah ibn Sufyan. These used to be the enemies of Islam. They hated the Prophet ﷺ tremendously. They fought against him, and it wasn't a long time before they became Muslims. If there's goodness in them, Allah will guide them. Even though in the beginning they were calling him crazy, poet, and they denied him altogether, then they changed. If there's goodness in them, and there was goodness in them, that's why Allah guided them. And some didn't have any goodness in them, so they died in the state of disbelief. So this is our position. طيب. ذلك الاقتصار على واحدة أو ما ملكت اليمين أدنى ألا تعولوا أي تظلموا. So then that, meaning either marrying only one or sufficing yourself with your right hand possession is closer or better that you do not wrong. أدنى, it's nearer that you do not wrong them. وفي هذا أن تعرضوا أن تعرضوا العبد للأمر الذي يخاف منه الجور والظلم وعدم القيام بالواجب ولو كان مباحا. And in this we learn that تعرض العبد للأمر, that the person, a Muslim, exposing himself to something which he fears that will make him unjust, it will make him oppressive, it will make him unable to fulfill the rights of others, even if it is permissible, that thing. أنه لا ينبغي أن يتعرض له, that you should avoid it. يعني for example, you got money, and you really want to marry a second wife. Okay, you have the means to do it. However, you know yourself. You know that if you were to have a second wife, you will not be able to deal with them justly. You know yourself. You will favor one over the other for whatever reason. Then even though that thing was originally permissible for you, you need to avoid it if you fear that you will not be able to give them their rights. Everyone knows himself. If you know that you'll be able to give them their rights, go ahead. If you know of yourself that you tend to, you know, lean towards one more than the other, then you need to back off. You need to back up. That's what the principle is saying here. بَلْ يَلْزَمِ السَّعَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ. Rather, you know, suffice yourself with contentment and safety rather than going into wrongdoing. فَأَنَّ الْعَافِيَةَ خَيِّرُ مَا أُعْطِي الْعَافِيَةَ. The best thing which a slave is given is العافية, safety and protection from fitna and from destruction. طيب. Now this is one aspect of the things. However, we promise that we will be dealing with other issues. This is a very, you know, controversial topic when giving da'wah to non-Muslims. Why is a Muslim man allowed to marry four women or up to four women, whereas a Muslim woman is not allowed to marry more than one man? That's one aspect of the problem. The other aspect of the problem is that how come, yani, women are so insignificant in Islam that she's like, you know, a man can marry one, two, three, four. How come he doesn't, you know, observe her feelings and he knows she's going to be jealous, blah, blah, blah. So the Shaykh already addressed one aspect. We said one valid reason for marrying a second woman is sexual satisfaction, meaning one is not able to do it. Maybe some women are, after you marry her, you find her unattractive or she doesn't fulfill your need, whatever the case may be. You may get a second one. So that's one reason. Who can give us other reasons which we can use to give da'wah to the non-Muslims concerning the wisdom behind this teaching?
The population, number of women, more than men.
Beautiful. We say, look, statistically speaking, women outnumber men. Women outnumber men. So, according to the statistics, if every woman were to marry a man now, there will still be a surplus of women. If every woman married a man, let's say there are 10 million men and 15 million women. Okay, just hypothetically speaking. If 10 million men marry 10 million women, now they're all married. How many women do we have left? 5 million. What do? They become prostitutes. They don't have needs. Don't they have physical needs? They do. Allah created them with physical needs like ours. Woman has a right, and a man has a right. What do you do with them? So from the wisdom of that, is that women, you know, who are usually outnumbering men, will have, if a man marries four women, then we don't have an issue anymore. What else? MashaAllah, people of da'wah, khalas, two reasons?
Widows?
Okay. Usually widows are undesired or not desired. I don't know if that's a word. Undesirable. Whatever. Women are not, widows are usually not the favorite choice. Everybody likes a virgin, right? So if every widow was to remain without a person marrying her, because a man who's marrying for the first time usually wants a woman who's getting married for the first time as well. So what do we do with these widows? It's more possible that a man who already has a wife will marry a widow as a second wife. So that creates for them a solution. Good. Anything else?
To increase the growth in this Muslim population.
Well, they're not going to like that reason. We're saying about reasons you explain to the non-Muslims about the wisdom. You tell them that, they're going to say, oh no, these people are trying to, you know, overtake us. So that reason you leave alone, barakallahu fiqh. Yes, it's a valid reason.
The first wife is being fed that she cannot bear children.
Beautiful. If the first wife is barren, she can't get pregnant. Does he divorce her? No. Islam opens the door or creates an opportunity for this man to take on a second wife who can produce children without having to divorce the first. Because guess what? If a man married a woman and she can't bear children and he divorced her, the chances of her getting remarried are very slim. Because most men do not want a woman who is barren. You might find some every now and then. But predominantly they don't. So then this woman, instead of being unattended, left alone, nobody's interested in her, her husband taking a second wife is excellent for her. Because she's still his wife, she still, you know, maintains her rights, but children are coming from another source.
On the same note, medical reasons of the first wife could also be the area where, you know, husband would like to make her go for another wife and still make sure that, you know, she supported the first wife when making her problems.
Right, right. Yeah, basically the idea of if a woman has a problem with a defect or something, then she's not abandoned because he can no longer benefit. No, he can keep her. That benefit he will find elsewhere. Why keeping his first wife? What else?
Nowadays there's so many wars and revolutions where most of the men die and they leave behind women. We have to take care of our women
both. The widows. That's the one we just discussed. The widows. What else? How else can we explain the wisdom behind it?
Avoid corruption.
Avoid corruption. Instead of these women, you know, maybe some women wait for a long time for a husband. Maybe they're not pretty enough, not whatever. They may have some issue. Instead of her just hanging out and no husband ever coming along, then she could become someone's second wife. As opposed to waiting for a single man.
That's what
you want to say. Yeah, well, they all fall. This falls under that. This falls under that, actually. Avoiding diseases, because with the spread of you know, illegal sexual intercourse, then of course you're going to have all kinds of STDs and HIV and all that crazy stuff. Allah Mustaan. What else? Okay, how about when someone says, how come a man can marry four women and a woman cannot marry four men? What about the children?
Woman is satisfied.
Father.
Woman is satisfied of more than one man.
Satisfied in what sense?
Physical. Because you know, women have the deficiency. Sometimes they have a month difficult, and sometimes they get pregnant. How you can deal with that poor man?
Nice. That's a good way to put it, man. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. You've been thinking a lot about this, yeah, Khalid Dustinir, huh?
It's two men and one wife, and the father of the child, two and one.
That's
it. Well, basically, the way you can say it is, imagine if there was a woman who had four husbands, and there was a man who had four wives. The woman with the four husbands, a woman had relations with all four husbands in the same night. Or let's say within the same few days, you know, in a couple of days, she slept with all of them. And she became pregnant. Who's the father? Wait. That's what we say. We say there are two possible solutions. Solution number one is resemblance. Huh?
It's mine.
No, her. She will look like this, or I think you're the father, right? Then after 1 year, the features of the child start changing, say, hey, no, I don't think you're the father. No, you're the father. And then when he's 2 years old, hold on a second, man. I think he looks like the third one. So that doesn't work. The second choice is DNA. First we say Islam is a religion that applies from the time of revelation until the end of time. There was no DNA, so that couldn't have been a solution. Yani now we can say that. But before, what did the people do? The deen of Allah is not applicable from the time they discovered DNA until later on. It applied from before, so that throws this idea down the drain. And even if assuming we're going to accept it, are there medical errors in hospitals or no? They are. How often do they mix up, you know, the files with the wrong patient, and someone wanted to, you know, get his fingernail, you know, fixed, and he came out with no leg or no something else, right? They pull these stunts in hospitals, man. They make mistakes. Doctors forget the scissors in the, you know, the patient's stomach, and then they take it out, you know, a few years later. All these things happen. So we say DNA is not reliable. It's not reliable. They may make a mistake. Errors do happen. So our deen doesn't work in this ambiguous, you know, fashion. Risky. Maybe this, maybe that. You have to be clear. But if a man had four wives and he had relations with all of them and all of them became pregnant, who's the father? The one man. The one man. Khalas. So physically, logically, Islamically, and as Bustinera explained, a woman cannot possibly have more than four men. And you tell a woman, I mean, even your own husband now, you can barely deal with him. Do you really want to wash clothes for four men? And do you really want to do laundry for four men? And you want to wash dishes for four men? I mean, this is, one is a big problem. You know from your wife. You know from your wife now, she can barely handle you. Does she really need another three to drive her crazy? She will go crazy. But the women don't understand that. They don't realize it. Until they are in that predicament, then they wish to just to go back to the old traditional way, one husband. That's the way it is. But anyways, there are many more other reasons which we can explain and present to the people as to the wisdom behind polygyny in Islam. I was hoping you guys would give me more, but I think we can, accept what has been provided. Now, ayah number 4. وَلَمَّا كَانَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَظْلِمُونَ النِّسَاءَ وَيَهْضِمُونَهُنَّ وَيَهْضِمُونَهُنَّ حُقُوقَهُنَّ. Now, because there were many people who wrong women and who take their rights, consume their rights unlawfully, خُصُوصًا الصُّدَاقِ الَّذِي يَقُولُ شَيْئًا خصوصا أيوة what is it الذي يكون شيئا كثيرا أو دفعة واحدا يشق دفعه للزوجة. Specifically their مهر. What is مهر in English?
Dowry.
Their dowry. Specifically the dowry, which may be a lot. Or something which you pay altogether, you know, a whole sum, at once, which may be a little difficult to pay for the woman. I mean, some women, you know, some dowries are like 20,000 riyals or 30,000 riyals, and you may not necessarily have this money available for you, right? So because of the tendency for men to wrong women, because it's difficult to pay them their dowries at times, because it's a lot of money, you know, paid at the same time, or because it's a huge sum, just generally speaking. أَمَرَهُمْ حَذَّمْ عَلَىٰ إِتَاءِ نِسَاءِ صَدُقَاتِهِنْ. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the men to give their women, to give the women their bridal money, their dowries. أي مهورهن نحلة أي من طيب نفس عن طيب نفس وحال وطمأنينة. نحلة meaning with a good heart, good feeling, with satisfaction, relaxation. يعني give her the money without feeling that you're losing something, or without feeling that negative feeling. Do it wholeheartedly. Do it while you're feeling good. فَلَا تَمْطُمُهُنَّ أَوْ تَبْقَسُ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. Do not then kind of, you know, trying to elongate the time to pay them, or try to take anything away from it. Say, can you give me a discount? You know, I know that the dowry initially was 20,000 riyals, but how about a discount? I've been a nice husband to you for 2 months now. How about 50% discount? Everybody's having discounts down the street. Come on, make it 10,000. It doesn't work this way. فَوَفِيهِ أَنَّ الْمَهْرِ يُدْفَعَ إِلَى الْمَرَّةِ إِذَا كَانَتْ مُكَلَّفَةً. And we learn from this that the dowry is to be paid to the woman if she has reached the age of discretion. Not to her father. Not to her father. It's her money. Nowadays, fathers, وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, they sell their daughters. They sell them. You know, he finds someone and dowry for 40,000 riyals, he puts it in his pocket. His daughter gets nothing. This money belongs to her, not to her father. وَأَنَّهَا تَمْلِكُهُ بِالْعَقْدِ. And that she owns it upon the contract. لِأَنَّهُ أَضَافُ إِلَيْهِ. Because Allah referred it back to her. وَالْإِضَافَ تَقْتَضِي التَّمْلِيكِ. And referring it back to her entails ownership. فَأَنْطُبْنَا لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْمٍ. But if they give you something willingly, the woman say, ما في مشكلة, I love you, you can keep the dowry, I don't want it. أي من الصداق نفسا بأن سمحنا لكم عن رضا واختيار بإسقاط شيء من أو تأخيره وعوضا. Meaning they willingly either say forget it, or they give you a delay, or they give you a discount, or they accept that you give them something else. Say, look, I can't give you the 30,000 riyals, but here are my socks. You never know. Of course, the socks are not going to work. You give her something nice. You give her a ring, for example, a bracelet, something nice. Say, I had promised you 30,000 riyals, and I cannot afford it. But she says, actually, it says, it has to be from her. Says, look, give me this bracelet, you know, and khalas, don't worry about the money. I know, don't think too much, you guys, about this, because some of you are thinking right now, why did this happen to me? How come I had to pay the whole thing? And so you're going to go home and start creating, you know, problems at home and say, how come and how come? Khalas. What happened, happened. Enjoy life from this moment on. According to the deen of Islam, of course. Don't enjoy life according to the kuffar. Hey, فَكُلُوهُ هَنِيئًا مَرِيئًا. Eat it. Eat it, yani enjoy it. Take it, accept it. And feel no issue. Feel no, you know, negative. Have no negative feelings. Concerning that, the fact that they gave it to you. أَيْلَا حَرَجَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ وَلَا تَبِعَ. There's no sin upon you, and there's nothing else for you to worry about in the future. وَفِيهِ دَلِيلَ عَلَى أَنَّ لِلْمَرْأَةِ التَّصَرُّفَ فِي مَالِهَا وَلَوْ بِالتَّبَرُّعِ إِذَا كَانَتْ رَشِيدًا. And there's an evidence in that a woman has a right to utilize her wealth however she likes, even if she wants to donate it, provided that she has reached the age of discretion and she's sound, her mind is sound. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ كَذَلِكْ فَلَيْسَ لِعَطِيَطِيَ حُكُمْ. But if she doesn't meet these conditions, then there's no ruling for her gift. وَلِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِوَلِيَّ مِنَ الصُّدَاقِ شَيْءٍ غَيْرَ مَا طَابَتْ بِهِ. وَفِي قَوْلِ فَكِحُ مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّ نِكَاحَ الْخَبِيثَ غَيْرُ مَأْمُورٍ بِهِ. سبحان الله. In the statement of Allah, so marry whatever is pleasing طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنْ طَيِّبٍ. Right? Of women. The Shaykh said there's an evidence in that it is not, that marrying the wicked woman is not commanded. marrying al-khabitha, because the opposite of khabith is tayyib. Tayyib, khabith. Tayyib and khabith. So Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded to marry him tayyib, mataba min al-nisa, meaning he did not command us to marry a wicked woman. That means to avoid them. بَلْ مَنْهِي عَنْهُ كَالْمُشْرِكَ وَكَالْفَاجِرِ. Rather, it is forbidden to marry a wicked woman such as a mushrika, or a woman who is adulterous, a woman who is known for having relations. كما قال تعالى وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ. As Allah said, and do not marry the mushrikat, the polytheists, until they believe. وقال الزانية لا ينكح إلا زان أو مشرك. And the fornicating or adulterous woman, none marries her except a fornicator and adulterer like her, or a mushrik, or a disbeliever. يعني a man doesn't meet a woman who's a prostitute and then he decides that he wants to make her his wife. Even if he did tawbah, if she didn't do tawbah, then no. Then this kind of marriage is not allowed in Islam. You have to marry a righteous woman, a chaste woman, a woman who doesn't know men. But women who go around, you know, these women are not allowed to be married in Islam, as Allah Azza wa Jalla clearly said in the Quran. Anywho, with this inshallah we will conclude. بإذن الله عز وجل, if you all remain alive, next week we will be dealing with ayah number 5. And continuing on, وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.